The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 462. 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462.
Thank you. Our reading from God's precious word this evening you'll find in the book of Psalms. And we'll read Psalm 34 and 51. The book of Psalms and Psalm 34 and 51. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now we'll turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We'll leave the reading of God's word there, and may we have been instructed through the reading of it, and now be given that help to rightly pray. Almost holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, we come now and gather before thee this evening to worship thee. Lord, we thank thee for the mercies of this day thus far, for all that we have been brought through, for the strength that we have to gather in thy house in body and in mind, for a place of shelter, for a place of warmth, for a place where we can gather without fear of persecution, for thy word that we have before us in a language that we can understand. And yet, Lord, what is the house to me unless the Master I shall see? Lord, without thy sweet presence, Lord, we will feel alone. So, Lord, may one and another, indeed may all this evening, find their hearts and affections drawn unto thee, our loving Heavenly Father, and that we may know thee, the only true God, this night, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet and come into the hearts and cases of each one. Lord, those that maybe so far away from thee, those who are here in person, but that is all, those who are dead, do bring to life. And Lord, none are too far away. No case is too hard. No sinner too great. So, Lord, do work. If there be those that are dead in trespasses and sins, with no living spiritual heartbeat within them, desiring to be here. Those that may have gathered tonight with a hunger, they may know peace in thee. May that reconciliation, Lord, between thee and them as sinners. May they find this night that perfect mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and may know that peace which passeth all understanding. Those who may be in some providential difficulty or some in need of some guidance, Lord, maybe there will be a word for them this evening. Lord, thou canst come in many ways. And those who have known the sweetness of thy presence and long to know more tonight, may they once again have their eyes set on thee and their hearts warmed by thy power. O Lord, how prone one and another are, we all are by nature, left to ourselves to wander away. We cry with the hymn writer, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? And yet, we cannot rest on past promises, but may we draw comfort from them from time to time. But Lord, we implore, visit again with fresh manifestations of thy love to encourage one another in this wilderness journey here below. For as the children of Israel of old, as they wandered, Lord, they needed that fresh manna. And so do thy people here. So may we tonight, whatever our situation may be able to honour and glorify thy name. And Lord, we would pray for those in need at this time. Lord, we would pray for Ruth Parrish this evening as she has gone to visit her father who has had that stroke now. Lord, we know not the situation of the family and their need at this time of great crisis. But do draw near unto them each, we pray. May they know thy sweet comfort with them. May they be given that peace, Lord, which only thou canst give. And Lord, may it be the case that thou wilt work in these matters. If it be thy will, Lord, do restore a measure of health and strength. But Lord, if not, do grant submission to the pathway. Lord, for we have to confess, thou art far wiser than we are. But do be with her and the family tonight, and the family here as well, that wonder how things may be. Lord, do be with them too. And yet, Lord, may it be a solemn reminder to us each, as we know how quickly these things can come. And whether young or old, we do not know if it may be us. There are those we know that have experienced it in their families in recent months, those taken suddenly from this life to eternity. But Lord, is eternity that tremendous sound in our ears? May it be so. Yet, Lord, where we have those doubts and those fears, where we tremble about how we may be brought to our end, may we humbly trust that at that great day there will be that preparation. And may we each lay up those prayers now for that day when we are brought near to our end, that we may be prepared. Prepare us for our end, dear Lord, and come when thou seest fit. And Lord, we would pray for all those that mourn at this time, many that have lost loved ones in the past months or years, where there is still that emptiness within. We would not forget the deacon here with the loss of his wife. Do comfort him still and be with his family too. Oh Lord, we give thanks for her faithful love and care and prayer for this congregation over many years. And may those prayers yet be answered. And yet, Lord, how we mourn when one and another are removed from our midst, those that we love for the truth's sake. So, Lord, be comfort all those that grieve. And, Lord, do indeed raise up many others to fill those spaces. And, Lord, we would remember in our prayers more widely those in need and all those that are so affected by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. How quickly these things sadly fall from our minds when we are not affected by them. And yet, Lord, the grief, the pain, the anguish, the sorrow is still so raw to many tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. And yet, Lord, we live in peace and comfort with all that we can ever want and need. So, Lord, be with those in great need. And Lord, whatever their case may be this day, where there may be those churches that seek to gather to worship in the rubble, Lord, do gather with them. And Lord, where there is great persecution in some parts of those lands, we pray that yet there may be that peace for those that faithfully worship thee. And Lord, we would not forget the war-torn countries of this earth. We think especially of those in Ukraine and the great poverty and hardship many hundreds of thousands are enduring there, but there are many places throughout the world where there is likewise warfare. Oh Lord, how sad and what a great effect sin has had upon this earth. It is a sin-cursed earth. And Lord, may we long to leave this earth and to be with thee. We will pray for all those persecuted Christians throughout the globe. So many in many nations who may worship today and for the last time. Lord, how many lay down their lives for thee every week. Lord, may we greatly prize the freedoms we have while we have them. And yet, Lord, we will pray for our government and give them wisdom at this time. Lord, what confusion there is and what uncertainty and discontent there is. We would pray for those who may be caught up in industrial action and the various strikes that are going on, to give them that strength to stand for that which is right and to submit themselves to those in authority where it is right to do so. And that, Lord, there may yet be those willing and not discontented with what thou hast given them. And yet, Lord, thou knowest how we all are by nature. We all want. And yet, Lord, what do we chiefly want? Do we want the riches of this world? Or do we want, or are we willing to suffer with the people of God? For Lord, we are told for thy people, there will be those persecutions, those tribulations. But Lord, we read that when we are cast down, we will not be forsaken. When we are persecuted, we will not be destroyed. So Lord, help us each, if that may be the case, for the cast down souls tonight, that they may know that they are not forsaken. And Lord, we would pray for thy word to drop into the hearts of many tonight, whether young or old. Lord, we know that thou canst come in a moment. And as the word is faithfully preached here week by week, Lord, may it truly come with power. And those that labour in thy name, Lord, may they be given much liberty. We think of many who have preached the word today. We pray for our home cause at Heathfield and the labours of Richard Field there today. May they have been blessed to many. And what we pray for here, that there may be a godly increase, we pray for there too. And all the causes of truth represented here. And all those that have preached the word today, Lord, and may have ended their labours for the day, Lord, we pray that they may, as they rest from their labours now, the devil may be kept from them, that they may know that they have done their work. And yet, Lord, how often we pore over what we have said and haven't said. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, do we pray, work mightily through the preached word. Not only in the churches that we know, but in the churches that we don't know, up and down this land where thy word is faithfully preached. And in a day, Lord, where there is such division, where there is a day where there are many that try to cause separations, Lord, may we be given grace to try and build those bridges rather than burn them. And Lord, give us that grace to focus on what we have in common rather than our differences, so that we may see in our lives more of the fruit of the Spirit and less of the lusts of the flesh. Lord, help us to walk rightly in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. But Lord, we can only do so as the elders shepherd us in this life. So keep our eyes fixed upon thee. Lord, we will pray once more for the children and young people here this evening, as many may return to school or education at home tomorrow. Lord, do help them each. May, Lord, they be given that grace to try hard in all that they do. And we all have differing abilities and gifts given unto us, whether it be academically or whether it be practically. Lord, do we pray, guide each of the children and young people into that niche for them, that they may, in whatever field thou wilt call them into, be useful. And may be able, even while they are young in years, and even as they begin their working life, be that shining light in this world. Oh Lord, we look back with shame as to where we were and how many times we should have spoken and didn't have the courage to do so. But Lord, give the young people that courage to dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone, knowing that them that honour thee, thou wilt honour. Lord, it's a promise. It's a promise. And if it's not seen in this world, Lord, if they are thine, it will be in the next. Lord, give us those eyes of faith to look eternally, to look beyond the here and now. But Lord, we are here, and we have gathered here tonight. We humbly trust to worship. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be one with us, that Christ may be made precious this evening. That which we have to lay before the people upon our minds, Lord, we cannot deliver it without that help. Lord, may we have truly tasted, handled and felt thy word. And Lord, lead us more deeply into thy word. Every one of us, Lord, lead us more deeply into the truths of thy word, so that we may know more of thy holiness, more of thy majesty, more of thy love, more of thy mercy, more of thy compassion. And that we may know more of who we are, that we may be laid lower in the dust, but yet may see more greatly how great thou art. So whatever our age, whatever our case, whatever our need this evening, Lord, come and be one with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt send the Spirit down with us, that we may know his presence in our hearts, may know Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, that there may be something done tonight. Lord, it is thy word. Apply it with power by thy Spirit, that we may know that thou art with us still. Lord, help us as we sing thy praises. Be with the deacons here in all their many duties. Truly bless them each. And increase them, we pray. We thank thee for those visitors that came this morning, Lord. May they yet come again. May there yet be many more that come as well. Lord, there are many empty seats. Lord, may we not be lacking in faith, but may this chapel be full. May the gallery be full. May the Sunday school be full. Lord, may those days truly come. We know they can come in an instant. It is thy work. But Lord, where thou hast called us to work, as individuals, Lord, help us to rightly serve thee. So, Lord, come this night. Be one with us. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly. And that which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord, do make up in giving where we fail in our asking. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible's thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. 854.
Thank you.
need of the Lord to help us each once more as we turn to his word. And to the first psalm that we read, Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do you often find yourself turning to the book of Psalms, either for comfort and encouragement, or to try and learn from the psalmists as they wrote down the thoughts of their heart? And that is really what David did here in this psalm, isn't it? One of those psalms where we have a title, where we know the occasion of why this psalm was written. When the Lord miraculously appeared for him, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who then drove him away and he departed. And in this psalm we have really, it's split into two halves. The first 10 verses or so, really, are all about praise to God. A song of praise to the Lord for his deliverance, for his help. And then the latter half of the psalm, an address to mankind, to encourage mankind, to look to the Lord again in their need. Because he will hear their cry. The face of the Lord, although it may not seem to us at times, is against them that do evil. And although we may not understand it at times, when the righteous cry, the Lord does hear and delivers them out of all their troubles. So as we try and look at this verse, particularly this evening, let us try together to look at what a broken heart is. Both naturally and then spiritually. And to try and ponder, why does God do this to his people? And then to consider the broken heart of sin before a holy God. We find parallels in both the psalms that we read. Although one is really a psalm of praise and one is a psalm of repentance, we see David's high view of the Lord. Like we have just been singing of, holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. And although David sighed to be set free, although David mourned over his pathway, he trembled while he sang. He looked to his God and drew comfort. And may we this evening, the Lord is nigh. When we are in trouble, we look for help. If we are in trouble, naturally we have a health issue. We look to the doctor. We don't go to the doctor unless we think we are unwell. And we only go urgently to the doctor when we know we are seriously unwell. And so it is, sadly, with coming to the Lord. Sadly, we wander away and stray from him until in his wisdom he brings something to break our hearts, to trouble us for a purpose. May cause crushing grief, anguish, distress, the taking of someone so near and precious to us. You know, we have that expression, don't we? If someone loses someone very close to them, it has been said they died of a broken heart. They almost gave up. When something so close is removed, it causes grief, anguish, and distress. It was so in the case of David when he lost his son Absalom, that son who was seeking to do him such harm and overthrow him. What did he say? Absalom, my son Absalom. He mourned, he grieved. He had a broken heart because something he cherished was touched. Do you know what that is? That crushing grief. Do you know what it is in it to say, the Lord is nigh? Yes, I was brought low, but the Lord was near me. I sensed underneath his loving arms. I felt, despite the turmoil, that peace. Maybe someone not taken from you, but brought into a deep illness or affliction. The Lord is nigh. The Lord drew near, gave you that supernatural strength to go through that period. And you know, what is often more remarkable is this. The Lord is nigh. When you're crying and pleading and begging for his presence as you are going through the difficulty goes. And what do we often find? We fall. Then we're in trouble. All the while we were in the trouble, we felt the Lord's presence sometimes, oftentimes. The trouble goes and we collapse under it all. Why? Is it because we no longer sought the face of the Lord? Is it because we then thought we could get along okay? The trouble's gone. We're back to our normal self. We'll just carry on now. Do you know that? I do. We're foolish. We're slow to learn. We're slow to understand that we not only need him in the rough times, we need him in the smooth too. Because that's when we'll really get into difficulty, when we wander away. Into the ditch we'll drop into. Out of that pathway where we are near the Lord and we stray and wander from him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Maybe there are those that have experienced those bitter disappointments in their life. Looking forward to something. Expecting something to happen. Or something has happened which you were so grateful for, and then the Lord sees fit to crush that dream of yours. Crush that pathway that you thought had opened up. Can seem so cruel. Can seem so wrong. And at the time you may say, not feel the Lord was nigh. But oftentimes, maybe years, maybe decades later, you can look back and see, yes, although I didn't know it at the time, now I see that the Lord was nigh. Now I see that although I thought that was the right way, it wasn't the right way. That was the right way for me. And yes, although my heart was broken, although my dreams were crushed, the Lord was nigh, even then. But what I wanted to focus more on this evening was this. Yes, we may have looked at a few examples of what it means to have a broken heart in a natural way. But if God is a loving God, what is his purpose in it? Why does God, if he is a God of love, permit these things? And this is what often the world will say to you. Atheists will say to you, if God is love, why do bad things happen? The problem is, we are sinners. And we view love through sinful eyes. And we view something loving as being what we think is best for us. Do you really know what's best for you? You children here, you may moan when your parents will say to you, I want you to eat this up. I want you to eat that up that's put on your plate. You don't want to eat it. You want to eat the nice things. But why do they say that to you? Because they know that what they're trying to get you to eat will actually do you good, even though you won't like it. And that is often the case in our lives. The things that we like by nature, the things that we look to by nature, are often not good for us. And it's a very simple explanation, but it can be like that with the Lord. He brings these things, he permits these things, they think they harm us, but they're actually to do us good. Maybe we should use another illustration. We may go to the doctor, we may go to hospital with something seriously wrong with us. The doctor may look at us and may administer some drug which will cause us sickness, will cause us all sorts of side effects. The surgeon may say, yes, you will need to be operated in this way, and it will cause pain, it will cause discomfort, it will cause anguish. But it's for our long-term good. Yes, a time of trial. Who wants a hip to be replaced and the great pain that that will cause? But the doctor knows that yes, if I give you this, it will be for your long-term good. And so it can be in our own lives. The Lord uses these things to strengthen his people. We look at that with Job, don't we? With all that he had to go through, it drew him nearer the Lord. It strengthened him. The same with David, with his situation with Abimelech, wasn't it? What did it cause him to do in verse 4? I sought the Lord. It caused him to seek the Lord, didn't it? To look to the Lord, to turn again, and then to know the preciousness of him delivering him from all his fears. And it causes us to cry unto him. In Psalm 107, we read there as well, don't we, in verses 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Do you know the joy of being delivered out of a distress? You won't know the joy of being delivered out of a distress if you haven't been in a distress. You may say, well, that's stating the obvious. Well, it is. But we often forget the obvious when that trouble first comes. Then our eyes are drawn to the Lord. Then those songs of praises go up. Then that soul is melted and laid in the dust because this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Another reason the Lord brings these troubles, breaks our heart, is to mould our characters, to chip the corners that need chipping off, and to create and mould us into something that he sees is fit. Let's look at Peter. I believe some of you in Sunday school may have discussed Peter this afternoon. Peter, why did the Lord permit him to deny the Lord three times with oaths and with curses? Why? Because the Lord knew that for Peter to be useful in the church, for Peter to be a strong leader, for Peter to truly understand what he had and what the Lord's love was, he first had to know what it was to know the Lord's absence. He first had to know what it was for the Lord's face to look upon him with shame. He first needed to know the trouble before he could then be raised up to encourage the people. Peter couldn't have wrote those epistles in the way he did if he hadn't denied his Lord. He knew the Lord was nigh to him. He then treasured when the Lord was nigh to him because he knew what it was for the Lord not to be nigh to him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Looked at some of few of those reasons as why God permits it. But to actually realize the benefits that flow from these things. The Lord is nigh. That's a benefit, isn't it? For a start in our text. To know the closeness of the Lord in that trouble. And we have in our hymn book so many hymns to encourage those that are in trouble, don't we? And we look to hymn 131. And verse 5 and 6, thou dost conduct thy people through torrents of temptation. Nor will we fear while thou art near the fire of tribulation. The world with sin and Satan in vain our march opposes. By thee we shall break through them all and sing the song of Moses. That's when we don't fear. When the Lord is near. But how we fear when he leaves us. But we have promises for those that are brokenhearted. We have promises for those that have a broken and a contrite heart. And we had one in that psalm that we read together, didn't we? Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do you know what it is to have your heart broken? As we move our thoughts onto before a holy God. To have your heart broken so that he will heal. We read elsewhere in the Psalms, later in the book of Psalms, that he heals the brokenhearted. But to understand in two ways that brokenheartedness before the Lord. that conviction of sin in one way, that breaks the heart. But to know the love of God shed abroad in your heart, that breaks the heart too. That breaks the heart. To understand the overwhelming, unmerited, free and sovereign grace bestowed upon one that is such so unworthy, that breaks the heart in humble adoration that the Lord would ever be merciful to one like you. Yes, there will be that brokenheartedness, that contrite spirit under the law, convicted of sin. But what did we read of? Did Jesus say when he quoted Isaiah in Luke 4? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day, the gospel day, the day of Christ, when he came to this earth, which we have recorded for us. We now have the power of the Spirit revealing Christ unto us to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. We're all blind, aren't we? Spiritually, till the Lord opens those eyes to see the preciousness of Christ, to feel the nearness of Christ to a poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner. We're all blind. But when he breaks the heart, softens the heart, gives that contrite spirit, oh, then how we know the preciousness of the nearness of Christ. And then when that goes again, you led back to long it again. Long for that presence again. That was what the prodigal son found, wasn't it? And that account that we have there. He went away into the world. He spent all he had, wasted his substance with riotous living. But he then came to that point. In this parable, where he felt, or where his heart was made broken and contrite. He spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Does that describe you this evening? You've begun to be in want. Because there will always be a beginning to being in want. And that feeling, that understanding can come and go. You've been in want and then your life takes over and you carry on with your journey. Spend more of your substance, as it were, the years of your life. Then again something comes and you again begin to be in want. And that feeling may wane again and you may drift away again. But it comes again, doesn't it? It comes again, and maybe this time it comes more powerfully, and this time you long that now may be the time where you will be set free. Now will be the time where you will know truly that the Lord is nigh unto you. But maybe he needs to break your heart more. Maybe he needs to bring you lower, humble you more. Maybe. Or maybe this time he will come in his glory and reveal himself unto you. But the effect will be the same, dear friends. Began to be in want. And what did he see? Where did he look? He didn't look to any of the other citizens in that country. We did to start with, didn't he? He looked to one and another that would help him, but they didn't satisfy him. Looked to something else, didn't satisfy him. Looked to something else, didn't work. Then he came to himself. Have you come to yourself? Have you come to yourself? Has the Lord changed your heart, renewed your will, and turned your feet to Zion's hill? And what did he say? How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. He arose and went. He came, believing that his heavenly father, his father here, but you would you come believing that your heavenly father will not turn you away? Yes, an undeserving sinner. Yes, one that has wasted so much. One that does not deserve to be called a son of God. But he draws. He works. And he came believing. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now there will be, in your experience, spiritually, those degrees of labouring. Don't read an biography of someone in centuries past and think, I must marry up with that situation. That's how that person was led. That's the way all the Lord's people were therefore led. I made that mistake in my early years. And I thought, that's how the Lord will work with me. And he didn't. And it's been a lesson to me. And may it be a lesson to you. The Lord will work. He will work in the way that is best for you. And don't you dare to tell him how he must lead you. But if he's begun that work in you, keep on at him. In prayer, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Like this son, as he came to his father. He went to his father. He moved towards his father because he saw in his father something that would satisfy him. Do you see that in Christ tonight? Do you see that in one that says, come unto me? All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that what you long for this evening? Is that what you desire? That peace, that burden removed, that felt union with Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's what the broken and contrite heart wants, isn't it? That rest. For their souls. When you realise you've got nowhere else to flee. My hope. My only hope's in thee. Nothing else to look to. That's where the prodigal son was brought. Nowhere else to turn. That's where the psalmist David was brought. When he was before Abimelech. Nowhere else to turn. And that's often where the Lord's people are brought. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And as that prodigal son came home, what did he find? He was received graciously. And as the Lord draws you to himself, maybe you have those fears as you walk. Oh, I'm too much of a sinner. Oh, I don't know enough of this. Oh, but how can the Lord be merciful to me? But he came. And he was received graciously, we read. And what do we read in John's epistle? If we confess our sins, if we are given that contrite and broken heart before a holy God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is sheltering beneath the blood of the Lamb, not sheltering under our own sacrifice, not sheltering under anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only way. The only way. The Lord sometimes leads his people in mysterious ways to get to that point. Deep and awkward and difficult pathways to reach that place where we are brought to nothing and to see our all in him. But he will bring all his people there. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous in verse 19. Oh, doesn't sound like much to look forward to, does it? If we trust that we are one of the Lord's, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. The verse doesn't stop there though, does it? We have a blessed but in the middle of that verse. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. As I said earlier, we don't know the blessedness of being delivered from a distress until we are first put in it. But it doesn't say the Lord delivereth him out of some. The Lord delivereth him out of a few. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. And the only way that can be is by death. There are some who have great trying difficulties all their lives. Some that are brought to endure bodily weakness for decades, severe pain for so long. Not delivered out of them in this life, but delivered out of them when they are taken to glory. But as I may have said this morning, we so focus on the here and now. I do anyway. Focus on today, tomorrow, next week, next month. Forget eternity. Forget what is ahead. The Lord is nigh. Has the Lord been nigh to you ever? Have you ever known the Lord's presence with you? Can you not say, he who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through? But the devil will not leave you. He is a cruel foe. And you may be brought low. And what will he say to you? Yes, you might think you're brokenhearted, but you're not brokenhearted enough. Yes, you might think you're a sinner, but you don't know enough of how you are a sinner. Yes, you may think you've got a contrite spirit, but it's not contrite enough for the Lord. He whispers those things in the ears of believers to cast them down. But what do we find when we are cast down? The Lord appears. The Lord appears. We have that beautiful hymn, don't we? Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Cast me down and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. When the devil tempts his people and tries them, what does it make them long for more? Another visit from Christ. Another fresh manifestation of his love. It doesn't drive them further away, does it? If we are truly the Lord's people. We will feel our distance from him. We may feel our departure from his peace and his comfort and his love. But it makes the heart long for it more. That's what the Apostle Paul found, wasn't it, in Romans 7. We sung that hymn to start with this morning, didn't we? Hymn number 314. Where we read, how sore a plague is sin to those by whom 'tis felt. The Christian cries, unclean, unclean, e'en though released from guilt. O wretched, wretched man, what horrid scenes I view. I find, alas, alas, do all I can, that I can nothing do. That's what the Apostle Paul found, wasn't it? When he cried that. When he cried that prayer in the end of Romans 7. But he didn't finish there, did he? How did he finish that chapter? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, Paul knew he wasn't what he wanted to be. Yes, Paul knew he still carried about that body within him. He still had those old desires. He still carried about that which was wrong in his carnal mind. But he knew that battle. He knew that anguish. He knew that he needed to be delivered. He felt his heart to be broken again. But the Lord came near so that he could cry, I thank God. Can you say that this evening? The Lord has brought you into something, has broken your heart, given you that contrite spirit. Can you still say, despite it all, I thank God? Yes, I'm in it, but I thank God that I'm not where I could be. Yes, I long to be delivered from this pathway and pray for it, but I thank God he hasn't abandoned me completely. Yes, I may not feel him as near as I would like to feel him, but I know he hasn't completely forsaken me. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It is in that hymn 523 where we have about the gospel and the law. We read about that broken heart there in that hymn. Its beauties, this is the gospel, all centre in Christ. For Christ is the substance of it. It makes broken hearts to rejoice, and insolvent debtors will fit. 'Tis wisdom, 'tis strength, and 'tis love. 'Tis all that a sinner can need, and all that are born from above by Jesus, from Moses are freed. It's the gospel. The gospel's the law of the Lamb. That is what brings the soul near to a thrice holy God through the Lamb of God. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So if you are in that place tonight, he's broken your heart. He's cast you low. He's brought you to your knees. May you know that the Lord is nigh to you. You may not know it at this time, but he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen.
The collections today are for those affected by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
O Lord, we come before thy holy name now in prayer. We acknowledge thy goodness. We thank thee for thy word. And that the vilest of sinners, the worst of sinners, though of sinners thou art chief, Lord, even they can come unto thee and find that rest. So where there are those burdened this evening, those broken-hearted souls, may they find rest in thee, the comfort of their soul. Be with us each now as we return to our homes, and as there is another week of time before us, if we are spared, Lord, may we not just be one day a week worshippers, but may we be found often in thy word, and thy word often in us. So forgive all that has been wrong in our gathering together today, and all that I have spoken wrongly, Lord, do forgive and remove from the minds of the people. But that which has been of thee, apply with the power of thy Spirit for their eternal good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.